Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just chilling.
Her chilling. All right. Here for this quick turnaround. That was quick.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff kind of happened.
Yeah, that didn't take long at all. like the very next day, it was like, poof, here you go, material. But, you know how that goes. You do a pod and then you miss something. You're like, oh, shoot. But, we here. We here, y'all. I know y'all probably going to be looking at this like, hey, didn't y'all just record something a couple days ago? Well, if y'all know what we're going to talk about, y'all will understand why we're at this again. And boy, do we got a lot to talk about off top. I mean, so much stuff has happened in 3 days. But and by the way, we don't have, like, we... you know, let me just do the intro first. Should I do like episode 82 and a half?
I guess.
All right, we'll do it like that, y'all. Episode 82 and a half. Y'all have no idea. Podcast Big Sky here.
My name is Sean.
Okay, so I had sent what, like, two major things that happened, right? And then all of a sudden, yesterday happened. And I'm like, oh my God. And then this morning happened. Like, y'all just gonna keep hitting me with a whole bunch of stuff all at once. I don't particularly like that. So I guess we'll get to what we're gonna get to. This podcast, dude, we don't have like an actual list of stuff that we, you know, we don't follow like a format or nothing. We just get right into the shenanigans and all of that good stuff. So wake up this morning, you know, I got up, wife going to work, and turn my phone on, because I usually turn my phone off. And what do I see? Scroll, usually see my Bible verses and little minor notifications. Bleacher Report. Shout out to Bleacher Report for this oh so wonderful Deshaun Watson news. I said, huh? What's this? Look, and I read from the Associated Press that said Deshaun Watson will be serving 6 games, mm-hmm. a 6-game suspension for the personal conduct policy being pretty much broken or violated. I said, oh, 6 games, huh?
Yeah.
Now, apparently it's supposed to be on top of the games that he missed last year. But let's talk about it, shall we? Sean, I'm going to let you go first, because this is interesting. This is very, very interesting.
If you are a Cleveland Browns fan, I don't ever want to hear a mumbling word about a Ben Roethlisberger. Not nothing. Nothing at all. Because if this man can have help from the football team to be sexually assaulted multiple massage therapists, and all he get is 6 games,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear nothing ever at all. Like, I need them all just to be like, yeah, we know we trash, but we trying to win these games. That's all I want to hear out their mouth.
Yeah.
Because that's some garbage.
You know, I remember when the Ben Roethlisberger thing happened. And I said, oh, how many games did he get suspended for? Like, what, 2, 4? I can't remember. It was so long ago. I was just like, all right. And I was like, huh, okay, all right, well, it is what it is, I guess. And they did tear Ben Roethlisberger apart for what happened.
Still.
Yeah, yeah.
They still call him Ben Rapistberger.
Oh yeah, they be on his neck every chance they get. And wow, I was like, okay, all right. So now, fast forward all these years later, the Cleveland Browns, who has to be the stupidest franchise I've ever seen for even taking this on. Now, okay, stupid for two reasons. Number one, you paid Deshaun Watson $250 million to get him. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'd like cha-ching. I'm not mad at him at all. Shout out to his agent. Shout out to his agent.
I mean, beyond the fact that he a rapist.
Yeah.
Or, a sexual assaulter, I should say. But for getting that money, oh, absolutely not mad at him. Not one little bit.
Because he's going to see all of that money, by the way. So we just want to make this known. And number two, Cleveland, y'all have been, how do I say this? I thought the Detroit Lions were a terrible franchise. And the Cleveland Browns every year continues to say, hold my beer. Just like the Detroit Lions, y'all ain't won not a damn thing.
And ain't going to.
Especially not in that division. Not in that division. Okay? Y'all, for the past 2 years, have had pretty much the biggest offensive threat in all of football. Having Odell, he's gone. Having Jarvis Landry, he's gone. Now, y'all still got, I think Kareem Hunt is still there, but he might be gone. And y'all have all of these other pieces there. The tight end, I can't remember the tight end's name, but he's a really good tight end. And y'all had this vaunted defense led by Myles Garrett. So it's not like y'all haven't had opportunities to win, but y'all did have that quarterback who is now down here in Carolina fighting for his starting life in Baker Mayfield, who I just can't stand anyway. So I understand you're trying to get a potential franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson. I get it. I understand. But doesn't it stand to reason why no other team would really want to touch him outside of the Seattle Seahawks? Hey, guess what? No one wanted to touch him because, I don't know, he has this pending case of accusations, because you have to say accusations nowadays, of all these women. And you just bypassed all of that. You say, you know what? Nah, forget that. Nah, we're going to take him anyway.
Yeah.
So if y'all wondering exactly what we're talking about here, again, 6-game suspension. Watson, and this is according to ESPN.com, Watson is eligible to return for the Browns' October 23rd game against the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL Players Association, in a statement Sunday night, made it clear that it will stand by Robinson's decision and urge the NFL to do the same. Now, Robinson is the disciplinary officer, Sue L. Robinson. That's the person that ruled for him to serve the 6-game suspension. So, either side will have 3 days to submit an appeal in writing. In that case, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell or his designee will issue a written decision that will constitute full, final, and complete disposition of the article of the dispute per terms of Article 46 in the league's collective bargaining agreement. Here's the thing. This goes all the way back to 2020, right when the pandemic was beginning to start.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when he was a member of the Houston Texans. Now, of course, when this story first broke, it kind of struck me because he wanted to leave Houston. And all of a sudden, when he decided he wanted to leave Houston, poof, all these allegations comes up. And we're like, that's kind of odd how that happened. We're like, okay, all right. Time passes, more women came out, and finally they let him go. Houston Texans let him go because they see the writing on the wall. This don't look good for Deshaun Watson, so they let him go. Then, just last month, the Texans reached settlements with 30 women who made claims or were prepared to make claims against the organization for its alleged role regarding the allegations against Watson. Pretty much saying, I know he was getting all these massages, but he was supposed to get all these massages because apparently he had certain type of injuries, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, this for Deshaun Watson, I don't care how much football he plays for the rest of his career, he is dead out here. But he got paid.
I mean, for him, yeah, but is it worth being a pariah? Because you know how them white football fans are for the opposing teams. And if they got any bit of dirt on you, they're going to drag you.
Ask Michael Vick.
Yep. To this day.
To this day.
Right now.
They will never let that man forget what he did. And he's did everything.
Including Cooning. He tried to coon.
Yeah. Yeah. Around the Colin Kaepernick situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so,
they were still like, mm-mm.
Nope.
You killed them dogs, you nigger.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, so this is going to be a very intriguing and interesting story. And this just goes to show, look, Sean, we're football fans, okay? We are. We love the NFL. I love football, period. But I love the NFL as well as you do. And it just goes to show that the NFL doesn't give a fuck as long as you make them money.
You could be a murderer. You could be a rapist. You could be a woman abuser. Yeah. Nigga, can you catch this ball?
can you throw this pass?
Yes.
Can you generate funds for my team?
Yes.
They don't care whatsoever. It's insane. I mean, look, who was that? Dante Stallworth years ago killed that man, and then the next year he was still on the team. I know it was accidental, but come to find out he was drunk, allegedly, and he was still able to play football afterward. Riley Cooper was calling, you know, people the N-word at a concert. He was still able to keep a job. The only one that whose career was never the same was Ray Rice. Ray Rice didn't see a football after that.
I was just about to mention it. I was going to say I was surprised that he didn't get another chance.
Yeah, Ray Rice was done out here, and deservedly so.
I'm still shocked.
Yeah, I'm still shocked too because the NFL don't give a fuck. They don't care. They don't care whatsoever.
No. Okay.
Yeah, so again, this is going to be very interesting to see what happens moving forward. And before we get to while we're really potting, we'll have to do this unfortunate circumstances surrounding yesterday with the passing of basketball legend and great Bill Russell. That was very heartbreaking to see, to hear. Those who watch sports, and even those who don't watch sports, we all know who Bill Russell is. By all accounts, to me, the greatest winner in professional sports history.
Civil rights legend.
Yes, civil rights legend. I cannot wait to see a real documentary about Bill Russell and the things that he had to go through in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. I think I even tweeted as much. I really want to see a documentary, but Bill Russell passed at 88 years old. Again, greatest winner ever. And you got to remember, so LeBron James just came out and he said how much he hates playing in Boston because of how racist Boston can be. And he's not the only black athlete to say that. I remember.
Nigga, they shit in Bill Russell's bed.
Yep.
Some grown ass man broke into that man's house, trashed his house, and shit in his bed. And this is after he had won them a freaking championship.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. That's how much they hated Bill Russell. Not because he wasn't a great player, but because he was black. I can only imagine the stories that he's had to tell other NBA players and other people, period, just about his experience playing for the Boston Celtics. And keep this in mind. This man won 11 championships as a coach and a player. He was helping the franchise win championships. Remember, they won 8 straight in the 60s. There was absolutely nothing Wilt Chamberlain could do with Bill Russell.
Out there killing them. Killing them. He's 21-0 in deciding games.
Yes.
21-0.
Yeah, the most in history. And that record will probably never be broken.
No.
That record would never be broken. Okay. He was a 5-time MVP. He won 2. NCAA champion 2 times, Olympic champion, the first ever black NBA coach. That also is an accomplishment in itself. Mm-hmm. And he's the only player coach in NBA history to win an NBA title. That wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for Boston.
No shit in that man bed.
And oh my God, his daughter came out recently and talked about the niggers that was sprayed like on his like cars and like in his locker rooms and stuff like that. Man, I need a real documentary. I don't need no bullshit. I need a real documentary about what he endured and what Hank Aaron had to go through. Them two right there. Oh, they was hated. And they helped their teams win titles. Mm-hmm. It's insane. But I was very sad to hear that. I'm not a Boston Celtics fan, but I can appreciate greatness. And there's no way in the world that you could even be a fan of sports and not have Bill Russell at least considered for a top 10 spot all time. You have to. And granted, he played with other Hall of Famers, you know, John Havlicek and Bob Cousy and Sam Jones, other NBA players. But it don't matter. He was the architect for that team. And, you know, everybody was giving shout outs and showing their respect and their love. I know you were affected because you are a Boston Celtics fan. So I know this hit you. So I know this hit you a little different.
Yeah, I mean it's hella sad, but then it's like the Betty White effect. It's like a life. What more could you ask for? Like, it's sad that he's gone, but I mean, he did everything anybody could ever hope to achieve. So it's just, it's more of a celebration than sorrow.
Yes. So rest in peace to Bill Russell. Sure. Yeah, and then the other one that hit me kind of hard, and this hit me personally because I grew up, I didn't watch Star Trek that much, but I knew exactly who she was, and that is Nichelle Nichols, passing away at 89, the same day, like, mm-hmm. Bill Russell passed first, and then maybe hours later, the news of Nichelle Nichols came out. I'm not liking where this is going. Okay. Nichelle Nichols. We all know Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek. But she was more than just Star Trek. She was really one of the first black actresses to have a leading role in any show. And, you know, she died from natural causes, and, you know, she played in so many different shows, movies. She wasn't like a major star, but she was well respected in Hollywood, and everybody just spoke highly of her. She was a singer who could sing her tail off. She could sing 4 octaves. She was a beast. She was an entertainer. And so That was sad to hear, to you know, to see that as well. So rest in peace to Nichelle Nichols. Two deaths in a day. I know death comes in threes. There was another one. I couldn't remember exactly who it was.
I think they found somebody, Ursula or something from The Little Mermaid.
Yes. It was the actress. I think it was it Pat Johnson? I might be getting that wrong. If I get that wrong, please forgive me. But yes, she was the voice of Ursula, Little Mermaid. So yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So send our RIPs to all those who have passed away. Now let's get to the good stuff. Now this is what everybody pretty much is going to come to hear us debate about. And if you're one of our loyal listeners, I know you've been chomping at the bit to hear us argue.
Oh boy.
This is going to be very, 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 very interesting. I've had thoughts about all what was going to be shared on this next topic, but we're going to get right to it. So a little thing happened on Friday, Sean. I don't know if you knew.
Oh, I know. I was there.
Beyonce dropped Renaissance Act 1. Mm-hmm. Dropped this past Friday to much fanfare, of course, because it's Beyonce. And it was a lot going on. People couldn't wait. You know what happens when certain people just drop records and it's an event. And I knew it was big. And I was just like, oh boy, here we go. Now, before we get to the shenanigans, let's talk about the album first, okay? It's a very, very heavy dance album. Renaissance is. First listen, right? I was like, all right, this is cool. It's straight. It's cool. And I started listening to it more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, this is pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Then I started listening to it some more. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck, this album is actually fucking fire. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then I started listening to it some more. I said, damn, this is actually an amazing body of work.
Yes.
But so I'm gonna let you go first. When you finish hearing the album, how did you feel hearing Renaissance after you finished it?
Well, first of all, because I am so critical, and I was just saying what I thought Beyonce needed to do, so I want to formally and very publicly apologize. Okay? Because I didn't know what I wanted, but she knew what I wanted and what I needed and what we needed. It is like all encompassing from beginning to end. It is just a body of work that is just fantastic. And I didn't even know I liked dance music. Like, I ain't never listened to no dance music before, but it was like a journey, and every freaking song is fantastic. And then it's like I get stuck on one song, and then I'll be like listening to it, and I don't want to go to the next one, but then it go to the next one. I'll be like, damn, I forgot this song. So then I have to let that one play. It's just, it is a freaking masterpiece. And I hate to be the people that I talk about living in the moment.
Yeah.
But I've listened to it literally about 15 times. I done cleaned my house to it every day since it came out. It is just, it's wonderful. The transitions are just seamless.
Yeah, man.
The production is fantastic. Like, the music's never too high for her. She's never too low for it. Like, her voice is just like butter. It feels like she was at home. She didn't have no pressure. She was just doing something that made her feel good. And she got all the right people and all the right pieces. And it is just, it is fantastic.
Yeah. I agree. Look, again, I'm familiar. Okay, so let me just say this. So we're actually familiar, because being from Flint, all you heard growing up was Detroit techno, Detroit house music. And it's a different groove. Like, being from where from, it's different. Like, I grew up on DJ Assault, you know, and I'm not even going, I can't even say the records I'm going to name, because You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? You know, Sean, you know the records I'm
if,
talking
if
about.
If it's the one I'm thinking about.
I can't say that on these airwaves, y'all. I can't say that. I won't get canceled, but let's just say we grew up on some stuff, okay? And so dance, house, you know, techno, EDM, you know, it's a different type of energy. And I don't particularly listen to it often, but if it's good, it's good. And I'm not saying it's because it's Beyonce. Like, if it's good, it's good. Let me tell you something, Sean. I got three songs on this album that I think are three of her best songs, maybe ever. Mm-hmm. Fucking Alien Superstar.
Nigga!
We. Ayo. Ayo.
When I tell you, had me in a chokehold. Like, just, I put it on repeat and I just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Alien Superstar is that one. That might be her next single. It's really good. Shout out to Dream. Dream and Beyonce, they get busy together. And Dream's all over this album. But God, that when I heard it, I was like, hey, yo, this is a groove. Mm. That one, Plastic Off the Sofa. Mm-hmm. Is my favorite song off the entire album. Shout out to Sid for the writing on that. Sabrina Claudio, I know that was a little controversial having Sabrina Claudio write for B. That's a whole nother story for another day. We ain't gonna talk about that, but still a great record. And then that goddamn Virgo's Groove. Sean, I listened to Virgo's Groove 17 times.
Just in time for the season.
Not a Virgo, y'all. She's a Virgo. Sean, you're a Virgo. Let me tell y'all something. The one thing I will say about Beyonce that she does better than almost anybody is her melodies. Her melodies and how melodic she is on these records and how she transitions back and forth from note to note. On this record in particular, if you pay attention just for the transitions period, from note to note to note, melody, note, melody, note. Hey, yo, that's a top 10 song of hers, man. It's the longest song on the album, and it don't even feel like it. It don't even feel like it's 6 minutes and 8 seconds. It is a fantastic record. And other ones that go hard, Church Girl goes hard, Move with Tim's goes hard. Man, yo, this album is really good. Mm-hmm. And it had me thinking, like, damn, so what moves out of the way? Because I see you tweeted that, and I said, dang. So my favorite.
Something gotta go. Something gotta move.
And I'm sorry, because so my favorite Beyonce album is still the self-titled album. That's the one with Drunk in Love and Haunted and EXO and Flawless and Rocket. That album is my personal favorite Beyonce album because she was killing it on every single track. And then right after that is B-Day. And then right after that is Four. And I like Lemonade too, but those three in particular, those are 1, 2, 3 for me. And I'm like, damn, so what do I kick out? I really like Four because my favorite Beyonce song is on that album, and that's 1+1. So I'm like, dang, I can't kick that song. I can't kick that album off. And then B-Day, from it's like her shortest album, but man, it has the most bangers on there. I mean, I don't like Irreplaceable, but it goes. I don't like the song, but it goes. Like, you know what happens when the song comes on. You start singing the lyrics immediately. But dang, she got Get Me Bodied, and she got Ring the Alarm, and she got my favorite, her and Jay-Z collab with Deja Vu, and then she got Upgrade. The entire album is dope. So I'm like, dang, what do I kick out for this one? So that's going to take a while for me to decide what do I want to kick out. But this album wouldn't come without any controversy, right? Let's get to it.
That's the real tea of the day.
Let's get to it. Let's get to the tea. Before we get to what we really here for, I just want y'all to understand that me and my lovely co-host Sean, who is like my sister, we don't agree on shit. We just don't. Before We argued back and forth about this next topic, and I still feel the same exact way. Even though I do wish Khalees would shut the hell up at this point, we are going to wholeheartedly disagree on this. Why, you ask? So here's why. On the song Energy featuring Beam, there is a small portion of, I believe, so I got conflicting reports. I don't know if it's Milkshake, or I don't know if it's Get Along With You.
Get Along With You, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm like 90% sure.
Right. So what happened was Khalees, I don't want to make this clear. We love Khalees. At least I do. I mess with Khalees. I really do. And I'll get to Khalees in a little while. She came out because apparently someone sent her the song, Energy. I don't know if it was through a fan group, or I don't know how she got the song or whatever. But it was around the time Renaissance came out. So she came out on her IG Live, and she displayed her displeasure with the little piece of sample that was on the record. And she had a lot to say. And I know some people were upset because she came off a little brash, but if y'all heard Khalees in other interviews, that's just how she is. She's brass by nature. That's the New York in her. And it was divisive. Very divisive. It is still divisive to this moment as we speak. Sean, you had your thoughts. I've had my thoughts. They spilled over to Twitter, which we usually don't do that often. And some idiot chimed in. I'll get to that later. That don't know what the fuck they were talking about, but I'll get to that later. But Sean, I'm going to let you go first, because you had your thoughts and I have mine.
I want to know what she mad at Beyonce for.
I'll just sip this water while you
because
while you're on.
Ma'am, madam, if this is a business that we are discussing, you don't own them songs. So you mad at Beyonce, or you mad at yourself? Because I don't think Beyonce had nothing to do with whatever contract you signed to Pharrell at the time that y'all was dating or whatever was going on, that you want to get on the internet and be upset with her because you signed something you shouldn't have signed. Like, and she credited you on the song, and I don't even believe she had to do that. So I'm just confused as to what her issue is with Beyonce. Now, I don't know what her and Pharrell got going on, as far as how he ended up with her songs and why he won't let them go, if that's petty ex relationship stuff. That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of any of our business. But what Beyonce got to do with this? What she need to call you for? Like, she don't owe you no courtesy. Are y'all good girlfriends? If y'all ain't good girlfriends, then she don't owe you a phone call because you sang a song that you couldn't hold on to. If I was Beyonce, I'd call them people and ask if we could take her off, because if she was getting any penny or something that she wasn't legally obligated to get, I'd snatch it. And tell her to go ask Pharrell for her cut. Heifer.
Okay. That's your take?
For now. Till I hear what you have to say. And then I'm sure I'll have a rebuttal.
You always usually do. I'm used to this by now. Okay. This is where I come in and totally disagree. What else is new? Okay. Now, let me see how I can start. Okay, let me start here. Okay. Erykah Badu said on the beginning of Tyrone, we as artists are sensitive about our shit, which had nothing to absolutely do with Tyrone, but I always wondered why the hell she said that at the beginning of that. So I know it was a live concert, but the segue was kind of weird, but I always felt that way ever since I was younger, but whatever. Okay. Artists are very sensitive about their material, okay? Legally and technically, Beyonce was not wrong.
Okay.
But, so we got that established. Okay. We got that established. Okay. But here's where I understand where Kalisha's coming from. And I want y'all to feel me on this one. This may be a little lengthy, but let me feel y'all on this one, okay? So when you are an artist, right, and you first get signed, 9 times out of 10, there's not an artist on this earth, especially back in the 80s, 90s, and even in the early 2000s. A lot of times when you sign those contracts, a lot of these artists just want to make music. They don't sign these contracts just to, you know, they don't think about the odds and ends of the business, the backside of the business, the publishing, and the masters. Because for those who don't understand, and we're not saying this like we're some like music executive aficionados. We're not saying that. Just being around long enough to be around, we've seen some things, okay? A lot of these artists back then, the lifeline for all of these artists are two things: publishing and masters. And a lot of these artists, as we speak right now, and probably until infinity and beyond, will always fight for those two things: their publishing and their masters. And when an artist is trying to get on and they're trying to live out their dream, they just want to make music. It's no different than like a NBA, like a kid from that's trying to play college ball, and they got these boosters. They just want to get their parents out of the hood. They just want to get their parents from any kind of situation. All they want to do is just to take care of their family and live out their dream. So the backside of the business, that's not something a lot of these artists thinking about. So whatever bad deal that Khalees signed with Pharrell, we don't know, but this is not the first time or the last time you will hear an artist disgruntled about their contract. Mm-hmm. Also, this is not the first time Khaleesi spoke on Pharrell and Chad Hugo, who Chad Hugo was also part of the Neptunes. She has been adamant for years about how grimy Pharrell has been towards her and her not having her publishing and her masters. So for everybody to be like, why is she just saying something? No, oh no, she's been saying something. All you got to do is just Google Khalees talks about Pharrell or YouTube it. Oh, she's been talking about it for years. So the reason why she was upset would be, and I honestly, listening to the live, I don't think she was that upset with Beyonce as everybody put it out to be. I think she's just hurt that that situation with Pharrell has been ongoing for nearly 20 years. Like, because I seen some people say, well, why don't she just get her publishing and her masters? Y'all must not know about the music business. Because you can't just walk into a Universal, or you can't just walk into Interscope or walk into Sony and be like, you want me my masters? It don't work like that. It don't. And a lot of times when people are trying to get samples and trying to get clearances, a lot of times they're always contacting the artist first to get their blessing. So I think that's what Khalees was speaking on, as opposed to just being, because she even said in the video, she said, I'm not really that upset at Beyonce. She just, all she wanted to do was just be contacted. Now, all this other stuff that she's doing, I don't know why she keeps talking about it. But I understood where Khalees was coming from. Now, everybody was like, well, Beyonce don't owe you anything. Mm-mm. Let me tell y'all something. I'm sick and tired, and this is not directed at you, Sean, personally, but I seen so many people that, because it's Beyonce, they don't even think she should even speak on it. I call bullshit, and here's why. Do y'all know Beyonce has been sued multiple times for the same thing? And I'm not saying this, throw shade at Beyonce. I want to make this clear. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Beyonce. I don't care if it's the late, great Michael Jackson. I don't care if it's the late, great Prince. If you don't contact, because in the industry, it's all about like decorum. It's a code. I talked to one of my friends who's actually like in the industry, and I asked him, I said, is Khalees bugging? And he was like, no. Because in the industry, it's a code that they follow. Like if you take a sample from somebody, you do contact the artist. Now I know this is a little bit more of a slippery slope because Khalees don't own it. But isn't that the fucked up part, that she doesn't own it?
Yeah, but, and I'm not upset with her about being upset about none of that. I'm upset because I'm trying to figure out what the hell. Listen, I saw something that said Beyonce people called her own mama, her very own mama, and said, we need a picture for such and such and such, and we need it in an hour. Didn't tell her what it was for, nothing, okay? Beyonce didn't call her mama for the picture. She had her people call her own mama for the things that she needed for this album. Why? Once again, if you and I are not friendly, okay? If we are not friendly, why do I need to call you for your feelings of a blessing for a song that you cannot legally clear? I am Beyonce. This is a business. This ain't like this a song Kelly on or whoever is somebody that she has dealings with. If I just know you through the industry, madam, why do I need to personally give you a phone call so that your feelings are spared about a song that you don't legally own, when I'm not even calling my own mother personally for the things that I need for this album? Who are you to me that I owe you this? As far as this instance goes, I don't know about nothing else Beyonce hasn't done nowhere else. But in this instance, Khalees, why does she owe you personally anything? I ain't never seen Beyonce and Khalees hanging out.
But see, we don't know that. We don't know that. It could have been, they could, you know, you gotta remember, we gotta remember, Khalees debuted in 1999. I think the first time I ever seen Khalees was like on Nori's album.
How long Beyonce been famous?
Just about as long. 1997?
Okay. We've seen her at all types of events, all types of parties, all types of photos. I ain't never seen her and Khalees hanging out in a magazine, in a nothing. All these years? If y'all close enough for that, then yes, I would say you should be, I guess, a phone call if it's that deep. But when it comes to business, I mean, it's just freaking business. She handled her business.
I get it. Okay. I get what you're saying. But let me give you an example. Okay. Let me give you a key example. Okay. I'm an author, right? Let's say, so I have a book coming out, right? And I already have a book out. Let's say,
loving a shameless plug, by the way.
Yeah, you goddamn right.
Give the name of the book.
Exactly. Pay less, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Pay less. Let's go. All right. So let's say, now, for sake of argument, I don't own my book. I hate that I don't own my book, but the publishing company does, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody goes, now I've spent years on this book, years, blood, sweat, tears. I have every single word in a separate little compartment in the house, put away for intents and purposes, whatever, right? Let's say somebody comes and they plagiarize my work word for word. Even though I don't technically own the book, they take my words word for word and put it in their, whatever they want to put it in, journal, book, novel, whatever. Don't acknowledge me, and then I come to find out that somebody took my shit and pretty much copied it.
Yes, Skylar, but she was acknowledged because she's credited.
Yeah, but it's a different situation because she's not going to get paid for this.
Khalees just wants to feel important.
Yes, and I think that's the point. I think that's the point.
But it is not Beyonce's job to make her feel important.
I know that
too. That woman got shit to do. She got three kids. She trying to put this album together. She got everything that she got to clear legally. These are things that she has to be worried about. She ain't got time to be trying to figure out, okay, let me make sure I call Khalees because I don't want her feelings to be hurt about a song she don't freaking own.
I disagree with that because it has came to find out that Beyonce was spent 3.5 years on this album.
I don't care if she spent 10.
Look, let me tell you.
You, I don't know you like that. I don't deal with you like that. I'm dealing with the business aspect of it. If you're my friend, I will call you. If you ain't my friend, then you need to take up your issues with the nigga that you signed this contract with.
Well, okay. That's what she did, though. She
so
did.
So why she got Beyonce? I don't have a problem with her dragging Pharrell. She could drag him and the little Chad from here to whatever.
The little Chad. He's like, not just little Chad.
I don't got nothing to do with that. Like, if they did her dirty, I hope she sue him and or whatever. That's fine. But I don't think that Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter owes her a phone call for her feelings.
Okay, so I'm looking at the credits now. So it's actually Milkshake. Can't get along with you. Okay. Let me put it to you.
Her
like
name
this.
On it.
Yeah, her name is on it because she performed the record.
Okay.
That's the only reason why her name is on it. Because she performed
the
record. Okay. Like I said, in the industry, when it comes to samples and getting clearances, 9 times out of 10, and we've seen instances of this all the time. Of artists contacting the artists to get their blessing to do the sample.
You are somebody that I deem on that level to do that.
If you are not
somebody that I mess with, I ain't calling you for shit.
Okay. How can I put this? Okay, so I'm looking at the people that she sampled.
Skyra, okay. Here we go. You got a book, right? You don't own your book, but I want to take some excerpts from your book and put it in my song, okay? I don't got to go through you. I'm going to go through whoever owned your book. But because I fuck with you, I'm going to say, hey, Skylar, I would like to use this from your book. Would you give me your blessing? You say yes, I go through with it. You say no, I don't. Mm-hmm. If James owns a book, I know James through passing. I don't fuck with James. Me and James don't go to tea parties. Our kids don't play together. We don't roll in the same circles. We just happen to be in the same industry.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't calling James because fuck James. James can't do nothing for me. I'm calling whoever owned James' book and then I'm going to pay them and I'm going to do that way. Because I don't know James. If I know you, then of course, then I'm gonna give you that courtesy and ask for your blessing. I'm not gonna use your voice, whatever. If we're cool, we not cool, then I'm dealing with business, and in business ain't no feelings, and I don't owe you a phone call. Beyonce though, Pharrell and Chad might owe her a whole bunch. That's a whole different subject. As far as I'm concerned, Beyonce did not owe her nothing.
I still disagree, but okay. Look, I'm looking at all the people that Beyonce has sampled. Okay. You want to hear these names? Now you tell me if Beyonce fucked with these people or not. I'm about to read this list. Ricehead Fred. That's I'm Too Sexy.
Did she call him personally though? Or did she just call the people?
We don't know that or not.
Okay,
we don't know that.
They come out and say it.
Okay. Clark Sisters. For Church Girl. Which, by the way, that's a dope sample. But that's neither here nor there. James Brown, who's passed. I'm pretty sure she...
Can't call him.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, he's dead. rest in peace. Donna Summer, who's also dead. I'm looking at this list. This is a freaking crazy list of people that she sampled. Jesus Christ. Tina Marie, who's also dead. Big Frida, which I was actually happy about that sample. Shout out to Big Frida. Tommy Wright III, who is an independent artist from Memphis. T.S. Madison, who, by the way, she called.
Well, because she wanted to use T.S. Madison's voice. I don't think nobody owned T.S. Madison's voice but T.S. Madison.
Right. So you got who else? Robin S. Lynn Collins, who actually performed the song with James Brown. The Showboys. Kilo Ali. So there's a lot of names that she used samples from. Right? Again, the reason why I think Beyonce was mentioned, I don't think it was necessarily Beyonce as it was the fact that Pharrell and Chad just let the sample go without contacting her also. Cause think about this. Milkshake is Khaleesi's biggest hit. Is it not? It's her biggest hit. And it's her biggest hit by far. Okay? Could you imagine, and this is outside of the Beyonce thing, and I think we have to take into consideration all of these different elements of the music industry. All right, we back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna put that on Beyonce. I think she tapped in into this little discussion we're having. But anyway, what I was about to say, could you imagine, and this is outside of the whole Beyonce thing, and I like I said, I feel for Khaleesi, I really do. And I acknowledge Beyonce did it the right way, but I feel for Khaleesi because think about this, right? Her biggest hit just got let go by a nigga who's been owning her publishing rights for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So and y'all, and I'm a little bit more sensitive, Khaleesi, too. You know, I know people were trying to drag her on Twitter. I'm like, y'all idiots, man. This woman also just lost her husband recently. So she's still trying to recover from that. On top of the fact that the person that she trusted for nearly 20 something years ended up pretty much screwing her, and she's not making money off of none of the song that she performed. You got people running up to her, singing her the lyrics to this song every single day, you know, singing the hook. And she can't even smile because she don't own it. I know that has absolutely nothing to do with Beyonce. Nothing at all. But I see her side of it too, because she's sensitive about her music. Rather she owns it or not, it's hers. When you Google Milkshake, or when you YouTube Milkshake, whose name pop up? Not Pharrell and Chad Hugo. Khaleesi's names pops up.
And I understand that, which is why I'm saying that if you are someone that I deem of importance to where I'm really going to take the time to care about your feelings, then I would absolutely call you. But if you are not someone that I deal with on the regular, then I'm going through business channels because we have a business relationship. If we have a personal relationship, then I will make personal phone calls. But if all we have is a business relationship, then I'm gonna make them business phone calls. Now, if you need some help and maybe getting your stuff back and you want to give me a call and we cool like that, then maybe I'll help you. But right now, help, I ain't helping you with nothing. And I wish you the best in your comings and goings.
Well, let's just say we agree to disagree on that one. But all in all, I do really hope that people lay off of Khaleesi. Let me tell y'all something. That first Khaleesi album, Kaleidoscope, I still maintain it is the best that the Neptunes have ever sounded in their entire career. That is a sensational album. I just listened to that album a couple days ago before this whole thing even blew up. And it's an amazing project. And for y'all sitting here trying to trash this woman, oh, she can't, because everybody's go-to is, oh, she can't sing like Beyonce. Well, duh, nigga. That's not her niche. There's a lot of people that can't sing like Beyonce, but don't be trying to come for Khaleesi like Khaleesi was trash. Khaleesi was on a lot of records, a lot of big records. So I'm going to need y'all to fall back.
Get Along With You is my favorite.
Oh, that's my shit. Oh, still my favorite Khalid song ever. And again, this is not directed towards you, but this notion that Beyonce can't do no wrong.
Oh, I never said that. I said she ain't wrong in this instance.
Right. But you got people that really feel like, oh, she can't do no wrong. She can't.
Well, that's just them crazy beehive people. That's them people that ain't got nothing to do. And then they get all under folks' comments with the bees. And them people just irrational, okay? Like, right. I'm talking about real people who are real Beyonce fans, but who have, like, real brains.
Right. Because I had, in that same thread that we had, some moron who was a Queen Naje fan. Because I had brought up the Queen Naje John P. Key situation that happened a few years back with the song Karma, and how Queen Naje just straight up hijacked John P. Key's melody, and he sued her for it, and everybody was mad at him because, oh, why would a man of God, because y'all know John P. Key is a pastor, why would a man of God, because they tried to use the will a man of God rob Queen Naje, which I thought was freaking hilarious. But I'm like, you didn't contact him for the melody. Yeah, he's going to
like
sue
that nigga
you.
That tried to use Kirk Franklin.
oh
what's
yeah,
what's that song called?
Ah, what's the song? I know what you're talking about too.
Well, whatever that song.
Yeah. Same thing. Like, you can't just jack niggas. Like, that's not how this works. And Queen Naje was mad that John P. Key sued her. And why would he do that? And then Lil Mo had to come out and defend her uncle, because that's her uncle. And so she got all pissy with Queen Naje. And I'm looking at Queen Naje like, yeah, dummy. You can't just jack a melody and not contact him for it, you fool. And I guess they passed it up or whatever. And this idiot who I was going back and forth, I should have known better. Because this person only had 9 followers and like 1,000 tweets. I should have known better. And they was like, Queen Naje wasn't wrong, and da 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 da. And I'm just like, oh my God, miss me with this. Like, get me out of here. Like, I don't want to hear whatever you got to say. So all in all, I do feel bad for Khalid. I hope she does get her publishing. The music game is a very nasty, filthy, dirty industry with people every single day having to fight for their freaking publishing and masters. I mean, go back and listen to the Lox and Diddy scuffle all the way back in 2005.
I mean, hell, Mace raping Fabio Foreign and he getting raped by Diddy.
Yeah, exactly. He even called himself Diddy 2.0. I ain't got no respect for Mace in that regard. Shut up.
And I don't feel sorry for him. And I hope Diddy don't never sell him back nothing.
Right, exactly. Because he did all that crying and whining all this past year just to do Fabio Foreign the same way. So screw Mace. Anyway. But that wasn't the only news that came out during Renaissance Day, is what I called it. In the middle of Renaissance Day, a video came out of Will Smith issuing the apology that we've all been probably waiting for. Finally broke his silence and issued his apology to Chris Rock and his entire family. I have mixed feelings about this.
Me too. Especially after what happened right after.
Sean. I'm going to let you go first again.
Will Smith didn't owe Chris Rock a goddamn thing. I understand why he apologized, but I wish he hadn't. And if he see him, he should slap him again.
What are we going to name this podcast? Are we going to name this podcast We Disagree on Everything? Is that going to be the title for this podcast? Okay. Let me see how I can ease into this one. God damn it, Sean. You don't make shit easy for me at all. Okay. Come to find out, Chris Rock did not know Jada had alopecia. Found that out this week too. I didn't know that until this week. I said, oh, that's interesting. I'll get to that in a minute. I am all for a man defending his wife. As a man who is in love with his wife, I completely understand why Will Smith did what he did. I wish he hadn't. And we discussed it when it happened.
I definitely wish he hadn't.
I wish he would have just took a. I wish it was an alternative route that he could have took. Mm-hmm. He should have took a detour that night. Because to me, no one won. No one won. Okay. I'll start with Chris Rock first. Sean, we've been alive long enough to see many of Chris Rock's stand-ups. One of my all-time favorite stand-ups actually involves Chris Rock all the way back in 1996 for HBO, when he used to do his HBO specials. I believe it's Bigger and Blacker. I believe that's the name of the special. Fantastic special. Chris Rock was like every other comedian in the 90s, raunchy, didn't give a fuck, just said whatever he felt like saying. Okay, that was Chris Rock in 96. I think Chris Rock has matured since 1996. At least I would hope he had. Now, how do I say this without pissing people off? I don't think Chris Rock, if he knew that Jada had alopecia, tells that joke. I don't think he tells that joke. Now, if he did know she had alopecia, then he absolutely deserved to get slapped. I'm not gonna ever disagree with that. However, when I found out that he didn't know, I ain't gonna even lie, my opinion changed a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, I know that, you know, the daggone, the investigators that is Twitter Incorporated dug all this stuff up about how Jada shaded Chris Rock all these years ago, and they created this narrative of, oh, Chris Rock still held on to that years later. And I'm like, y'all must don't go outside, because they worked together even after that, so knock it off. But in a sense, I did, when I heard that he didn't know, I did feel sorry for Chris Rock, and here's why. That is still embarrassing to that man's family. Regardless on how anybody feels, that's still embarrassing. And now every single time you see Chris Rock, he's gonna be the nigga that got slapped by Will Smith. No matter what he does, no matter where he goes as far as his stand-ups, he's the nigga that got slapped by Will Smith. Mm-hmm. So a part of me does feel a little sorry for him. And he's a comedian. I believe he was just doing his job. I don't think he meant no harm. Looking at it from that perspective. Then there's Will Smith, Sean. On one hand, I understand Will's apology. And I want to say something about something that Will Smith said in this apology. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And I still have been chewing on this ever since he said this. So in the video, he said one of his traumas that he's always had to deal with is disappointing people. Mm-hmm. Sean, when he said that, I'm going to tell y'all something. That has been one of my biggest criticisms of me that mm-hmm. people have said about me, that I care too much about how people feel. I've always heard that my entire life. So when Will said that, that resonated with me more than anything that he said on that video. I felt that personally, and I said, wow, I really still struggle with that. I don't like disappointing people. I'm very careful of how I approach people, what I say, what I do. And I really take to heart if I disappoint anyone and if I say something or do something to hurt someone's feelings. I really do take it personally. I know I shouldn't, but that's just me. So I understood what he said. And I understand him apologizing to the Rock family. But here's where I kind of looked at Will Smith like, I'm a little upset with you in this regard. Because he passive aggressively apologized to Jada in that video. I didn't like that. Jada got dragged religiously, royally, like I've never seen a person get dragged. All for Will Smith to say in this video, she had absolutely nothing to do with what I did. I don't know about you, Sean, but I kind of felt the way about that. Here's your wife of over 20 years getting brutalized by people in the media. And we've shared the suspects, Corey Holcomb being the main one.
And he's just a piece of shit, just all the way around. Though yeah, I do not like him.
Yeah, yeah. I used to love Corey Holcomb. I can't really stomach him now. And other people, he wasn't the only one that came out and was talking crazy and reckless about Jada, but he was one of the main corporates that was like on the Jada Pinkett Smith attack train. And I felt like Will's silence, and I know that they were attacking him, and you know, you got the 10-year ban and freaking Amy Schumer and Wanda Sykes being triggered, whatever with that. Miss me with that. I kind of was like, damn, Will, I wish you would have spoke up sooner. As a matter of fact, I wish you would have spoke up that night, which he talked about. He said, well, when I got my award and it was time for me to speak, I was completely out of it. It was kind of delirious. I felt like he should have issued the apology then, to me personally. Now, I don't know how everybody else felt, but I didn't like that, him saying that way.
I really don't think he was, like, I really do feel like it was more of an out-of-body experience. I don't think he thought about it at all. I think in that moment, like I said, it just was a lot of emotions because,
right,
you know, this is what he had worked his whole life for. I think he knew, everybody knew he was going to win it. Like, mm-hmm. I just think it was just a lot going on. And in that moment, he just, like, he blacked out.
Right.
And I feel like he is completely sorry. I feel like there has been tremendous amounts of self-loathing. And for that, I hate that for him.
Yeah. Because
as a very self-critical person, I know what that feels like. Yep. To, like, know you want so much more, know that you should have done so much better, and then just not being able to let it go and just be constantly reliving that moment over and over, like, I should have, whatever. So, but he said something that I caught when he was like, it was something between him and Chris that led me to believe that they had problems prior, mm-hmm. that this was something that he had been dealing with. So I think this was just the straw that broke the camel's back as far as them two is concerned, and he let it be at the wrong time.
Right.
And that's why I said I feel like I don't feel bad, and I don't think he was wrong in that instance, because I really feel like he should punch Chris Rock. And then Chris Rock's still talking shit now. It's like, see, that's why you got hit, because you say stuff. And then I hate this world that these comedians live in, where they feel like they can say anything under the guise of, I'm a comedian. I can be as disrespectful to you as I want to be, but because mm-hmm. it's a joke, I am now off limits. Like, mm-hmm. no, nigga, you can say with anything. Freedom of speech, you can say what you want. But if you say the wrong thing, you gonna have to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see me and I punch you in your mouth because you was running it, then you just gonna have to deal with that. It just happened to be Will Smith punched him in his mouth at the wrong freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue. I feel like it was the wrong time. I think he should have punched him. I just don't think he should have slapped him at the Oscars.
No, I don't. Because there was an after effect. You see what happened after, you know.
The white people, the victims of the victimhood of the white people is just nauseating for me.
Yeah, it really is. Oh my God.
I feel so triggered. I feel unsafe. I'm a comedian. What if somebody, watch what you say. You can't just say whatever you want to people all the time and just not expect for nothing to never come to them, because they celebrity. They people too.
Yeah, yeah. That part I do agree with. I agree wholeheartedly with that part. I just wish that, because let me tell you. On one hand, I understand that, you know, comedians do have a job to do. It's to make people laugh. On the other hand, you know, so I thought about the joke, right? I went back recently and I watched it over again, right? And I heard the joke. Then I thought about G.I. Jane. Now, I remember G.I. Jane, the movie with Demi Moore back in 96. It's really, if you really think about it, it really wasn't that bad of a reference. But because, like I said, we don't know how people are affected by different things. So if Jada was affected because of her alopecia, regardless of the think piece stupid niggas on the internet saying that it ain't that deep for Jada, we don't know what that's like. Listen.
What you mean, as a woman
right.
who has had hair and then now you have to be bald. Like, that is an adjustment.
Right, exactly. And I don't know how that feels for a woman. I really don't, and I would never know what that feels.
Hell, there's niggas who lose their hair who can't deal with it. And as a man, it's acceptable to be bald. And there's some niggas who have to go bald and still be crying about it.
Nigga, me. Sean, I'm bald. You know how long it took me to become bald? Years. My wig was...
You was one of them people still holding on to a Scottish Sean, Stella. I know you wasn't.
Sean, my wig was pushed back in my mid-20s. My and I didn't want to let it go.
Oh, Lord. And your wife, I love her.
She looked at me like, could you please, please go bald? She's begging me to go bald, and I would not do it. I wouldn't do it. I'm going to tell y'all a funny story. Shut up, Sean. I'm going to tell you a funny story. So, I was working at Olive Garden at the time, right? John Calipari came into the restaurant. I took a picture with him. Coach of the University of Kentucky. Him and his family came and they ate. And I got to talk to the coach for a while. And I still have this picture on my Facebook. Sean, my wig was pushed back. And I said, oh, hell no. I got to get... Look, all of our high school homies start hitting me up. And they was on my ass about this picture. And if you know some of the people we went to high school with, you would know. Like, some of them niggas did not let me lay that down. And it was relentless. I said, damn, I guess I gotta go bald, huh? And let's just say the very next week, I went bald. I finally did it, and I've been bald for about 5 years now. So, as a guy, I understand. I get it. This is a true story. It's a true story. But we don't know how people are affected off of different things. And I'm gonna be honest, like I said, I really honestly don't think Chris Rock tells that joke had he known. And because they've had business dealings with each other for years. And if they had an issue that goes back however many years, whatever, I just wish Will Smith would have just pulled him to the side after the Oscars was over and just told Chris Rock, like at a backstage event or wherever, and just told him, yo, I didn't appreciate that. My wife has alopecia. You know what I'm saying? And I believe, honestly, I think Chris Rock, in this stage of his career, I think he would have apologized. Now, him still popping off now, I think that's just the dumb comedian in him. And I think when you got a battery put in your back by, like, the crowd and people just want to hear you talk about it constantly, I think Chris Rock should not do that. But I don't even think he has a choice because, Sean, let's be real. What is Chris Rock's selling point right now as we speak? What's his selling point? The slap.
Yeah, okay. But you keep talking shit and then I see you again and I pop you in your mouth again. Now, am I still wrong?
No, not at all. But, I mean, look, Jada herself on that Red Table Talk that I didn't want to watch, but I watched anyway, a little bit after the incident happened, she even said that I wish that the two would just sit in the room. And I think eventually they'll sit in the room and they'll hash it out. I mean, these two men, they've been in this business for over 30 years, both of them. And I think if Will, and what I don't want to see is I don't want to see this be public. I don't. Because I'm, you know what I'm tired of, Sean? I haven't said this yet. You know what I'm tired of people, because it happened in public that it should, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, people.
But that's just because niggas nosy and they want to know what's going on.
Yeah, but they don't have to be in public for us to know if they talked or not. I don't care.
It ain't none of our business. I really don't care to this point. I'm just saying, I don't want people to be one making Chris Rock out to be the victim, because it's like, all right, this happened, but now you egging it on. And you know that if he is to say something, then he's going to look like the aggressor. But now you playing in his face.
Right. Is that fair? It's not fair. But see, I just hate how society works when it comes to Black people anyway. Because, you know, the white elites, A, are never going to let Will Smith forget about this, no matter what he does. That's bullshit. You know how I feel about that. They're never going to let Chris Rock not be the butt of jokes because he got slapped by another man. I don't like that neither. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like people feeling like Jada played this big old Jedi mind trick with Will Smith to make him get up and do it when he said that she didn't even do anything for him to go up there and do it. So that's the part I don't like. Out of all of this, that's what I don't like. It's the projection of Black people and Will Smith, who hasn't bothered a single soul in 30 something years, outside of the Jen and Hubert stuff, which they patched it up, by the way. Mm-hmm. Is there any other thing that Will Smith has been in the news for in 30 something years? No. But they made him out to be like he was Tupac. No pun intended.
Yeah.
They put him out there like he was just some, like, they made Will Smith seem like he was the one that crashed the freaking Twin Towers. I'm like, y'all niggas got more smoke for Will Smith than Dylann Roof. Or yeah. For George Zimmerman. Or for any of these other people that like to walk in churches and schools and shoot them up. But Will Smith is where y'all triggered at. Listen, while we're on the subject, Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, are y'all that triggered off of Will Smith? I ain't heard y'all be
that triggered. Wanda Sykes especially can kiss my ass because she was way extra. She was way, way extra.
Every interview that she had, she was triggered by what Will Smith did.
Did he hit you?
And I know Chris Rock put her on. We know Chris Rock put her on, but that ain't the point. The point is, that's your triggering point?
Right.
Did he kill Chris Rock?
I ain't seen her step out about nothing as much as she was about that.
Exactly.
Nothing. Black
excuse me.
Human rights, nothing. But she was damn very triggered, and that was just the worst thing that has ever happened in life to her that she's ever seen in her whole life.
I hated that. I hated everybody that came out and tried to just tarnish this man's legacy, everything that this man has worked for. I mean, you have people talking about, can you just take the Oscar away? That's what we're doing. We're not taking the Oscar away. He earned that Oscar.
For what?
Exactly. He earned that Oscar. He earned that. That's his. He played the hell out of that role, by the way. He bodied that role. I don't know if you seen King Richard or not, but he completely bodied that role. And he absolutely deserved it. But me personally, I just want to see everybody just in the room and just kind of hash it out. That's all I want. And like I said, it happened all during Renaissance Day. And of course, people were clowning Will Smith. You're really going to do this on the day that Beyonce dropped her album? Hell yeah.
It's the perfect time.
Yeah, right. It's called marketing. it's called marketing. I'd have did it too. Yep. I'm going to take advantage of this Beyonce Day. So, but all in all, that's all that happened. We don't agree on anything, but you know what else is new. But for those who were looking forward to this, no, this was not going to be a shouting match. I think y'all kind of anticipated us yelling at each other, but nah, we just don't agree, and that's okay. I'm going to repeat that: we didn't agree.
I mean, we're well seasoned in that. That was the purpose of this podcast. That was the birth of the podcast.
Exactly. Not agreeing on anything except Michigan football. And that's pretty much it. You know, but yeah, I need y'all people on internet to do better, man. Y'all drive me crazy with some. That's why I tweeted just yesterday. I said, some of y'all are weird. Because some of the stuff that people be saying, I just be looking like. Now, you know damn well when you're off of this internet that you really don't think like that. So I'm going to need you to just chill. Some of the stuff y'all be tweeting, I just be like, all right, cool. That's this. And I'm going to be honest with you. If that's how some of y'all really think on the internet, don't expect me to ever meet y'all and want to hang out with y'all. Because y'all, some of these people are weirdos. Weirdos. If I got to create a fake page just to attack a celebrity, I'm considered weird. Because I see people do that all the time. I don't know. People, I see why you took a sabbatical. I don't know how
people do this. It was lovely.
Yeah, I don't see how people do this every day. I don't know. I don't know, but that's pretty much it. I'm pretty sure some other stuff is gonna happen in the near future. How many days we got till football comes back? What, 40 days now? 40, 39? I don't know.
40? Too many still.
I can't wait. I can't wait. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna set up my fantasy football stuff in just a little bit, actually, to see if I can get some people to play. Cause I was in three leagues last year and I almost won my one league and I got screwed at the end, but I don't want to talk about that. And that was my money league, so I'm a little tight about that. But we're gonna have some fun this year. We're gonna have some fun. I'm ready for football. I'm sick of, look, I love baseball, but I'm sick of it. Sean, do you have anything else before we wrap this on up?
No, just God loves the Pittsburgh Steelers and you should too.
I gotta find a slogan. Because I can't keep this Pittsburgh Steelers stuff is nauseous. I gotta find a slogan. Damn it. You know, I'm gonna work on that today. I'm gonna find a slogan. All right, so that's it. That's it. This was a very short, long episode. Episode 30, 80, I was about to say 30. Jesus. Episode 82 and a half is in the books. Until next time, we will catch y'all on episode 83. I'm pretty sure we'll have tons of material because y'all keep feeding this material. All right, until next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace.